dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Matt Combs.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Online Radio Show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, and joined here in the fall season by my brother Matt. Joe Holbert and I had an opportunity this past Thursday night to kind of bring you a special edition to kick off Season 5. Again, I appreciate those of you that have been with us throughout the first four seasons. And if you're new to SVC Sports Talk, welcome. Again, maybe you were able to join us the other night for our live call out at Chillicothe. But now, as we get into our weekly online radio show, Matt and I return to the SVCSportsZone.com studio. And, you know, Matt, as I welcome you to the show here we are into Season 5. You know, you and I had a great vision there 5 years ago just to kind of start covering the SVC a little bit. And year by year, we've added in some different things. We've learned from some mistakes probably and tried some new things. Just your thought on where the website and the online radio show has come throughout the – I believe this is our 8th year website, now 5th year podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that it's been that long. We really just kind of started it off as a – you know, just something, you know, fun to do in terms of a website where we sort of focused on the 8 teams in the Cider Valley Conference. And we still do that. And I think the website's grown, but I think the podcast has been the difference maker in the website, if I'm being honest. I think the good folks at Triple Crown have allowed us, along with Bruce at DBK, allowed us to do this. And I think this reaches probably maybe the most people, or at least the most avid fans, if you will, of SVC sports. So I think it's kind of fun. It's been a fun thing to generate discussion, and I think I hope at least it's something that people look forward to each week to download the new show.
Well, no question. And, you know, you mentioned one of the sponsor really of the show. You know, Triple Crown's been with us from the start. We certainly appreciate them. And, you know, we also want to thank Crown Hill Golf Club. You can get a hold of them at 740-986-GOLF. We'll be talking about that course a little bit in our golf coverage throughout the fall season. But at the same time, I want to encourage people to check out some of the great deals that they offer throughout not just our website, but on Golf Now and so forth. But, you know, as we got Season 5 underway the other night, it was a Thursday night call out at Chillicothe's beautiful stadium. You know, I appreciate Joe Holbert and his time and efforts he put into it, as well as the support of Lazy H Cabins. But, you know, really at 36-6, Paint Valley really had their way. It was really kind of a name your score type of game for PV. They were very classic, very classy in the second half. And, you know, PV didn't even really let Joe and I get comfortable, as it didn't take long for PV to take control. Senior Tony Hatfield, he started the game with a big return all the way in the Fisher Catholic territory. PV started that opening drive. I believe it was inside the 30, and on the second play from scrimmage, Hatfield was involved again.
Paint Valley will go without a huddle here as Anthony gets him up to the line quick. Tegan will walk from the left side of him over to the right side, and he'll set there. Snap goes to Anthony. He's looking Hatfield. He's going over the top. He's got one-on-one coverage and a touchdown. Paint Valley. Anthony McFadden goes up top. Tony Hatfield, 27 yards as the Bearcats go out in front, 6-0. Joe looked like a one-on-one coverage, and obviously Paint Valley is going to take that matchup every time.
Yeah, they used a pro trips right formation to leave Hatfield open over here on the left side on a one-on-one coverage, and I'd say Anthony's eyes opened up as soon as they saw that they were, and he his athleticism ran by the young men trying to guard him.
Well, again, that was the call there on when we went live on SVCSportsZone.com Thursday night. And, you know, Paint Valley was added early and often. They added another touchdown, and they were able to get a bad snap that led to a safety. And then the McFadden and Hatfield combo had the attention of the Irish defense. And later in the half, it was Hatfield as a decoy that allowed PV to put the game away early.
Paint Valley getting things organized. Now Anthony's going to bring Tony over to the other side, the short side of the field, so that he can get him ISO'd again on the one-on-one. We have our trips out to the left here. Anthony's actually going to roll to the left. He has a guy. Nice touch. Caleb Johnson all alone out in the flat. He might get in. He's all the way down the sideline, and he's in 30 yards. Again, they motion Tony over to the short side, Joe, to get him ISO'd, and then that time they rolled out to the trip side, and then had Johnson there in the flat all alone.
Yeah, well, once that you put Tony over there, everyone cheated over to kind of do that. Then they just ran a flood play, roll out to the left, and he found Johnson on a nice catch. A linebacker didn't pick up with him or couldn't run with him, and then he just outran everyone to the end zone.
1:47, first quarter, Paint Valley out 22-0.
Well, and again, the route was on at that point. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun, Matt, you know, to call that game. And I do want to let fans know, several links still up on the website. People can go back, hear the pregame, hear the play-by-play. We had Tegan McFadden, Josh Kreck, Austin Baker all on at the half with some interviews I had done earlier in the week. The feedback was phenomenal. I mean, just incredible. I know we had one fantasy football draft, they said, where they had the families over, and there was 30, 40 people listening there. I know the Paint Valley kids and families really enjoyed listening back to it, you know, where a lot of them didn't get a chance to hear the live call. So the feedback was a lot of fun. As for the game, it was kind of one-sided. You know, Anthony ran for two and threw two there from his quarterback position. One Hatfield, as you heard, and then Johnson on that other one you heard. Johnson actually had two touchdowns, not only that catch, but he also had a run. And then, you know, Tegan was kind of just quiet throughout tonight. I think he only carried it 12 times. But, you know, really, Matt, I know you didn't have a chance to go to the game. You had some different family things going on that night. But I know you said you tuned in a little bit for the live call. Just your thoughts, again, as the website tries to take more and more steps to cover SVC sports. But then also maybe your take on Paint Valley here in the early going.
Yeah, I think it was a fun opportunity for you and Joe to get on there and do a game like that. I know you've done volleyball and baseball, and so football was sort of a embarking on something new. But you know, Paint Valley, it's early in the season. I think it favors experience. There's not a lot of practice time in the preseason, and when you have a team with a lot of kids back that sort of understand the system, I think those teams are probably the scariest early, and Paint Valley really showed that, I thought, Thursday night with just coming out and being sharp and executing and really just sort of taking it to that team, but the Fisher Catholic team. But, you know, obviously they're one of the best teams in the league. I think, you know, as we talk throughout the show, we're going to talk about maybe some of the contenders. Paint Valley obviously has to be one of them, so it's a good start for them.
Well, let's just talk about a few others here, Matt. I know in terms of person, in person, you've had a chance to see Huntington in the early going. You've had a chance to see Uniota. You'll see Piketon coming up here. They obviously sounds like they played pretty well, lost the heartbreaker late in that Pike County rivalry game with Waverly. Obviously, we haven't seen Zane Trace yet, the two of us, but that's a huge win for their program. Just your thoughts, maybe not only on the two teams you've watched in person, but maybe just in the early media coverage throughout it. Just your thoughts on some of the other teams that jump out at you.
Well, I think, you know, and I don't want to disrespect you know, any teams this early in the league or leave anybody out. But I'll be honest with you, I think it's sort of a three-horse race, if I'm being honest, just my opinion. I think obviously Paint Valley is a contender. Zane Trace, with a lot of kids back off the team last year that I think tied for the league, if I remember correctly. Plus you add an athlete like Mowry, who I think is going to be interesting to watch on the football field. they have a new coaching staff. So, you know, and but like you said, they come out and get a big win the other night. So Zane Trace has to be right there. And then I saw Uniota play the other night, obviously, down at Vinton County. And I think they have to be one of those contenders as well. They were toward the top of the league last year, the entire season. You know, lost to Paint Valley in a game that was relatively well close. Lost late in the year to Zane Trace, I think, if I remember correctly. The Hosley kid, you know, he's a difference maker. I mean, there's just not a lot. I said this in a show last year. They just don't make a lot of him. You know, you don't. He just doesn't look like a high school, you know, athlete when he's out there. And you know, basically, you know, Vinton County played very well defensively the other night. I don't think I haven't seen the stats, but I would doubt that there was any kid, not named Hosley, that rushed for 20 yards, probably 20 or 30 yards. But Hosley's just that good at times and that dominant. He returned a punt for a touchdown. He took a bad snap on a broken play and ran it for 30, 40 yards. He's just a man amongst boys at times. So I think with him, Uniota is definitely a contender. They have some experience. Obviously, the Hauser kid, big time college prospect as a lineman. So I think those three teams sort of set themselves apart in terms of contending for a league championship.
I would say I would agree with that on paper. The two teams that I'm intrigued by, I think that's the right word I want to use there. It would be Adena and Piketon. They're right there in that middle a little bit. You know, I know Piketon went through some injuries last year, and they get some guys back. You know, Adena has the senior group at Adena has done pretty well athletically throughout. So those would be two teams that, again, I think you're right. I don't know if they can over the entire season win the league, but those are definitely two teams that maybe could jump up there and knock somebody off. And then,
well, I mean, you saw it last year, right?
Piketon knocked Valley off.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When I say contend for the league, I guess I'm talking about consistency, but on a given night, a team that maybe can't win the league can determine who does, you know?
Right. And I think with, you know, we've both seen Huntington, I think you see some young pieces there that you like going forward. And then the other thing, Matt, it seems like we have this conversation every year. It's hard to judge how good a Westfall is because they play a non-league schedule that, you know, really, really elite when you start off with a school like Taze Valley. So very difficult to sometimes get a read top to bottom. I think you and I would agree with those three at the top. It'll be interesting to see just how many teams on down the line can stick their nose in and maybe shake things up a little bit. So, you know, good discussion there. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of football talk week in, week out. But up next, I want to move on to our feature topic of the week as we say yes or no to field turf. Is it the best value in the long run, or is it too big of risk?
Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty.
Well, Matt, the field turf is a topic that's really, really been brought up to me throughout really the entire offseason. As I talk to different people about facilities, obviously I had a chance to be out at Chillicothe the other night. Beautiful place. You know, in the long term, over the long haul here in the last decade, Jackson's kind of been the trendsetter, if you will. But I know that more and more are coming in. You know, Waverly's putting in the beautiful facility. I know Cold Grove, I know Lucasville Valley and Nelsonville and so forth around. More and more fields going to the field turf. And so I guess I would ask you first, Matt, is we're going to spend quite a bit of time here and have the opportunity to try to look at it from all perspectives. I guess the first thing I would ask you to do is play Mr. Positive. If you were looking at the positive sides of field turf, what would be the selling points if for you if you were on the yes side in terms of field turf?
Well, I think if you're if you look at some of the positives of it, I mean, and we're going to talk about the fact here in a little bit that it's not necessarily maintenance free, but obviously there's probably a lower level of maintenance once it's put in. You're not mowing it, you're not painting it, painting the lines on it each week or whatever. I think that weather wise, it allows you it allows you to host playoff games, because I think the OHSA now is really, they love turf fields because they don't feel like weather's going to be an issue. You know, you're not going to get out there and have this sloppy, muddy mess maybe that you could have at a natural grass field. So it allows you maybe to host some playoff games. It allows your boosters to maybe generate some revenue after your normal regular season's over. It looks really cool. You know what I mean? That might be a positive. I mean, it does. It sort of has a look to it. So there's several positives, you know, I think, to having it. We're talking football here, obviously, but, you know, the VA has proven in baseball over the years that there's a real positive in baseball for having it, because you don't get rainouts. You don't lose game. You don't miss out on games and stuff. So there's certainly some positives with it.
Well, now, again, we're going to have plenty of time to break down some different things I want to talk about. But just in terms of our opening discussion, let's go to a second aside and go to the negatives. What are some of the negatives that fans need to be thinking about as they form their opinion with us here on the show this week?
Well, obviously, cost is the big bugaboo. I mean, everybody would have it if it was cheap, but I mean, it's not. It's an extremely expensive, you know, endeavor to begin with to put it down. I think the other thing, it's not, you know, there is some maintenance with it. We talked about maybe a little bit less maintenance than with grass, but there's things you have to do to it. There's upkeep. You know, I'm not an expert at it, but from talking to people, I think you have to quote unquote top dress it a little bit from time to time, which means bring in some of the rubber, you know. Anybody that's ever been on turf, you always got this crushed tire type of rubber pellets down in there, and you have to replenish those. I think at times you have to spray it and treat it for like bacteria and MRSA, things like that. So there is some upkeep. You know, and then the other thing is it's not going to last forever. You know, it does have to be replaced eventually. I know most schools are saying now that about once every 10 to 12 years you're supposed to replace it. I think some schools are stretching it a little bit further than that. But it's not something that you're just going to put down and 40 years from now still have it. So it will have to be replaced. So I think that, again, goes back to the cost. I think the number one negative, obviously, is just the expense. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I do. And I think, you know, what happens is when we look at it financially, I see a school like a Chillicothe or Waverly have such an advantage, say, over a Jackson, who was more of a trendsetter. I mean, I think it's fair to say, you might remember better me, Jackson, Nelsonville, some of those schools seem, in the Southeast at least, to be some of the first to do this. And, you know, I think you start to learn, because if I'm speaking just as a general fan that was talking to a lot of people from these surrounding conferences, when this first started, say 10, 15 years ago, it was almost this perspective out there that this is going to last you 30 years and you're doing all these things. But the more we start to study, I think you have to do some of your math based more on a 10 to 15 year project if you're going to take this on now. And hopefully that's something that some of these newer schools have been able to figure out. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, because I know just from having some people I know at Jackson, you know, it's a situation where they're about I think their field came in 2004, so yeah. They're looking at 11 or 12 years, you know, with that field. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I hate to say this and then it not be true, I think they're going to replace it at the end of this year, I think is the plan. So I could be wrong on that, but I know they are, you know, that discussion has started. And I know they've had some ways over the years of building their facility fund, so to speak, whether it be a little bit of a little bit off of concessions, you know, each concession sold, a little bit goes into a fund or whatever. So I think they've got out ahead of it and planned on the expense down the road of having to replace this. But I think, and another, you know, you asked me advantages, one that I kind of forgot to mention, but it goes along with what you're asking me now. if you have a lot of different sports at your school, that's another advantage probably of having field turf. Let's say you have soccer. Let's say you have, you know, field hockey, whatever.
Sure,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, so now you're getting a lot of foot traffic on a natural grass field, and you're starting to get brown spots. You're starting to get dirt spots, worn out areas.
All of those sports, are you including your JV level, your junior
right.
high level?
And every school's different. I don't know, does your junior high go out there and play, practice? You know, do you have a separate practice field for your football, or do they practice every day? So, a lot of that depends. And a lot of that goes into the wear and tear on the field. Turf, you know, if all you're doing is playing football five times a year on your football field, it may last you 20 years, 25 years, I don't know. But if you're playing soccer and you're playing football and you're playing JV football and you're playing field hockey, you're playing all this stuff, your band's practicing out there every day, whatever, I don't know, it's going to wear out quicker, and you're going to have to replace it once a decade or so. You know, I think different schools, I think schools have to look at it individually in terms of what they need, what fits their needs, and then weigh that versus the cost.
Well, and I think this is something I'm always big on, you know, in terms of building programs and things like that. In this particular situation, I guess maybe it's more of an athletic thing, or even a treasurer's office thing. I think it has a lot to do with turnover in staff, you know, be it a booster president. An athletic director, a principal, a superintendent, some members of your board, because I think if I'm following you from, say, you know, again, Jackson seems like such a standard that's been starting. They've done a good job of preparing themselves for this, in terms of you can't look at it as that 25, 30 year. You have to have an idea over that first 10 to 15 years. Okay, well, how are we going to handle this in year 7 or 8 if we have a problem? How are we going to handle this? 12? So it could be some type of funding thing. It could be a separate fund. But if you have a lot of turnover in those situations, an AD for the first 6 years of that 15-year plan may not see it the same way as the next 2 or 3 ADs. You see what I'm saying? So if you have that turnover, do you think there's some consistency in terms of there being 4 or 5 levels of administration that really need to be on the same page?
Well, I think everybody's got to be on board when you're spending that level of money. I think in a lot of cases, obviously, there's corporate sponsorships involved. So you've probably got contracts with you know, Jackson, with Holzer, or with, you know what I mean, whoever's helping purchase the field or putting money toward it. So you've got some contractual agreements with corporations. You know, like you say, the folks that are in power at your school at the time, board members, administration, you know, they have to have a plan in place that outlasts them. You know, because they don't know how long they're going to work or when they're, you know. So I think as a school, you have to be on board. Everyone's got to be all in on it. There's got to be organization to kind of know what's our next step. You know, it's funny to me, and I think at first glance, when you start talking about schools that have field turf, and you start thinking, well, most of the schools that have field turf have really good football programs, you know, Jackson, Nelsonville, Lucasville Valley, Athens, you know, I'm sure I'm missing some, but Chillicothe, that have football programs that are good year after year after year after year. And it's easy to think, well, that must be why they got field turf. They have good programs, are sort of rewarding their school. But it could be, it's also a financial thing, because when you have good programs, you're going to have $10,000 gates on Friday nights, and you're going to have a lot of concession sales. You're going to generate revenue, so you feel like you can afford that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
If you're a school that, it's not just that we're not real good in football, but it's also the money you're generating. If you're getting $3,000-$4,000 gates at most on football Friday night, you know, you probably can't afford, unless you have it all paid for through corporate donation, to have field turf. It's just too expensive of a project.
Well, I would say no matter, I mean, obviously if some of your bigger schools, especially the ones with great football teams, are going to have huge gates. But I would say no matter where you go, just the nature of football, Friday night, only 4 or 5 times a year. 7:30 start. You're gonna get a lot more through the gate than you are in any other sport. So football kind of is going to drive the bus in terms of athletic funding throughout. So you mentioned the positive earlier, not only them using the facility, but really what the facility generates, especially if you do start to get into playoff things and so forth with money coming across. So you've already touched on one point I wanted to make AD-wise, but let me kind of jump into another one here. Give the fans an idea. You talked about preparation and upkeep throughout a year. Give the fans an idea from an athletic director standpoint. What it might take to get a field ready to play on a Friday night. Walk us through that a little bit in terms of you're on the grass field there, you're preparing to get the field ready for the upcoming season, and then you get into week one and you're going to get it painted, ready to go, all that. Just kind of take us through that if you would.
Well, I think on a if you do it correctly, if you have and I'm fortunate the school I'm at, I feel like, and obviously I'm biased, but I feel like Vinton County probably has one of the nicest natural grass surfaces in the area. Sure. But to do it, you're spending quite a bit of money to keep that surface in good shape. You're paying a professional organization typically to come in and treat it, spray it, you know, fertilize it, just like someone would do their yard, you know, having somebody come in and treat it and 4, 5, 6 times a year, whatever. So you're paying for that. We've got sprinklers that are built into the field. So you've got water that you're paying for, that you're putting down on it pretty much every day, especially in the summer. You know, and then you're paying somebody obviously to mow it. You know, somebody on your custodial staff's responsible for that. So that's manpower hours. And then ultimately then you know, Thursday or so or Friday morning, you've got to paint it. And, depending on how schools do that, if, you know, the paint's going to cost you, you know, probably $300-$400 in a lot of cases to do a field for 1 week. Is your AD going out there and doing that himself, or are you paying somebody to do it? If you're paying somebody to do it, that's a couple hundred more dollars. So it can easily be a $500-$600 deal each Friday night to get the field ready in terms of paint and like I said, labor and all those things. So there's a lot that goes into that. I would have to really crunch the numbers, but I'm guessing it wouldn't be hard at all to have $10,000 or $15,000 wrapped up in a natural grass field each year in
right.
terms of upkeep.
So I mean, just to kind of, I guess this is where I form my opinion a little bit. Obviously, we're learning more about this being more of a 10 to 15 year project than a 30. But you could probably still make the argument that if you are able to come up with that upfront money and get the stuff down, there's probably a financial gain still to be made even in a decade, is there not?
I would say that, you know, again, I haven't really crunched the numbers, but let's say for the sake of argument that the upkeep on a natural grass field over the course of 10 years, let's say, might be half of what it costs to buy a turf field. Right. So if you look at it from the standpoint, okay, well, we've already spent half the money just in our normal upkeep procedures. If we can get corporate donations or corporate a sponsor to pay for the other half, hey, you know, maybe it makes sense for us. Because I do think you can use it, if you're smart, you can use it to generate revenue. Obviously, if you have, as long as you have a good press box, good bleachers and all that, you're opening yourself up for playoff games. Playoff games don't really make your athletic department too much money, to be honest with you. Most of that goes to the OHSA, but it does allow your boosters and your concession PO, whoever does your concessions, I guess, to make money, because you get to keep all that. And so you can generate some revenue that way.
If you charge throughout the year, you can even charge the park, correct?
Yeah. If you park throughout the year, you can charge the park for playoff games. So there's ways to generate revenue. You've seen it in baseball. I know we're talking football here, but the VA's done a pretty good job of, hey, we have this really good facility here.
Question.
Let's get high school teams involved. And they've generated some revenue for themselves, charging people to to get in. And it's a nice trade-off because high school teams are like, hey, we love to play here. We don't have to worry about a rainout on this night.
Well, in football, we just called the game the other night. I mean, I think Chillicothe's on to something. I mean, I don't know if that's something they would take a look at doing throughout the year, but – if you threw in two or three of those, I think they're onto something there. I think there's a lot of people out there that would jump at the chance to go play at a facility like that.
Yeah, so if you can swing it to your advantage and use it as a way to generate – I know Jackson's hosted soccer tournaments. I know they've had playoff games, not only their own, but like regional-level games, you know, because they happen to be centrally located or whatever between two schools at that particular time. So, yeah, I think there are some revenue-generating possibilities, but, again, it's a huge upfront cost.
Last thing here, Matt, that I had, and then I'll open it in case you had anything on your notes we didn't get to. The last thing I kind of had down here, and you kind of said something earlier that, if I'm being honest, kind of got me thinking a little bit on the other side of this, but I had made the comment – over the last couple weeks and studying this up, that perhaps this made far more sense for a bigger school than it did a smaller school. You know, if I guess my thinking behind that is, you know, if you had soccer and field hockey and a lot of different things that were going into this, you're going to help generate more money back into it. But at the same time, with some small schools, especially small schools that have really good football programs or football teams that are really well followed by your supporters, you were making the point that maybe less is more. Maybe if you have a great facility like that and you're not having the traffic on it, perhaps the smaller school that has less on it, you know, no soccer, no field hockey, would have a little bit more life in the turf. So I guess what I would ask you is, as I kind of go back and forth, Do you see this more as a big school advantage, or is there a place, obviously like a Nelsonville's made it work or whatever, is there a place for the small school as well?
Well, again, I mean, I like the answer to every question, it depends, I guess. But the big school, like you say, the obvious advantage is you have a lot of different sports you've been using that field. So the grass field isn't really even a good option because of the wear and tear. And you're going to generate revenue because you've got all these different sports people are paying to get in to see. So I think it makes probably the most sense for them. I think for a smaller school, you just have to make sure you've got a plan in place. Like Nelsonville, for instance, their football program has been the center of their focus for a long time. And they know that people are heart and soul into Nelsonville football. So they also have a huge fundraiser every year called a Buckeye Bash or whatever, where they give away, you know, they raffle off, you know, four-wheelers and car, everything under the sun. And they make a bunch of money at that. So they have a plan in place. How are we going to generate revenue? You know, so that if we need to replace this, we can. They don't have a lot of traffic on it. Although now Hocking College has got a football team, and if I'm not mistaken, they may start to use that field some. So, but anyway, I think if it is a small school, I think it has to specifically fit. And I think that's why you see sometimes in Southern Ohio, it's not a coincidence that field turf goes down at schools that have really, really strong football programs. I think that's not a coincidence. You know, I think because you have to have a plan in place to where it fits what you need.
Really good discussion. I'm really excited to get some feedback. You know, really, fans, I guess I just want a yes and no and why. You know, does it fit your school? Let us know what school you're from. Does it fit your school? Tell us yes, no, why. Add the discussion. You can let us know on Facebook. You can let us know on Twitter. Let me know at admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can give us a call at the website here at 740-596-3254 and let us know your thoughts. And I don't know. I Matt, is there any more specific question than that? That phone number, 740-569-3254. I apologize on that. That's 569. Just leave us a message. But Matt, you know, I guess that's what I'm looking for. Is there any more specific thing for the fans as we wrap this segment up this week that you would be looking for to add to this discussion?
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of the people that listen to the show probably are thinking some of the same things we just discussed and thought of. But it'd be interesting to me to know, you know, if you're a fan of a school that has it, or is it, does it really mean something to you? Is it special? You know, do you enjoy going to the game and seeing that every Friday night, or is it something like, okay, yeah, sure, we got it? You know, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to hear the feedback. And is this something that's really that important? Do you really care if you're just somebody that goes watches football on Friday nights, or what? So, you know, something else that's interesting to me would be to hear from players. Do you like playing on it? Is it better to play on that? Is it better to play on grass?
Sure.
I would love to get a sense of, you know, because from, you know, some coaches I've talked to over the years, you know, love it. Some think it causes injury. I don't know. This stuff is not like the old AstroTurf back in the day. You know, this is pretty nice stuff. And but it'd be interesting to hear from some people that actually participate on it too, and just kind of see what their thoughts are.
Well, good stuff. And again, fans, hope to get some feedback. Up next, we introduce a new segment here in Season 5 of SVC Sports Talk. We call it Four Down Territory. Well, Matt, in this new segment, calling it Four Down Territory, obviously, Four Down Territory means you're going to take four shots at it, and that's kind of what we'll do here. Basically, the way it'll work is Bruce will introduce the down to us, and then Matt will read a question. I'll follow with an answer, and Matt and I will have a little discussion, and then the fans, you can play along and give us your feedback. So here we go.
First down.
Shane, give the fans a prediction of yours from the preseason that – maybe the early action has you now second guessing yourself a little bit.
Well, Matt, I'd probably have to go to golf for this. You know, my early season prediction would have been that it was going to be a two team race, obviously, Uniota and Piketon. You know, as I go back, you know, early in the year, it looked like, okay, I think I'm right. But then, you know, this last particular match, SVC match number two, things started to maybe make me think different. You know, you go back to Valley Vista in number one, SVC match number one, Uniota 151, Piketon 152, and then you jumped all the way into the 170s, the 180s, the 190s to get into the third, fourth, fifth place. Okay, but then you go to SVC number two, and I'll grant you River's Edge, and you as a golfer can probably agree with me here that you knew scores would be a little bit better, but now all of a sudden Zane Trace Southeastern jumping there at 151, 152. Uniota still shoots the 153, 154, so it's not like they ended up blowing up to allow this to happen. It was more about Zane Trace and Southeastern going and getting it. You know, Owen Deal with the 34 there. And in fact, you know, Bruce, I had a shout-o-matic on that particular night. Do we have that clip?
SVC golf fans had a little shakeup tonight. SVC match number two out of River's Edge. It was the home team, the Zane Trace Pioneers, taking the match at 151. Southeastern in line at 152. Uniota 153 and Piketon at 154. So I guess the headline will read on SVCSportsZone.com, more than a two-team race. It was Owen Deal with a 34 for the Southeastern Panthers, winning the medal honor, as the all-league individual scoreboard gets tied as well. If you'll go to the golf page, you'll see that this ties Uniota and Zane Trace at 14 points with Piketon Southeastern at 12. We're still early in the year. Also keep in mind on the individual scoreboard that we drop the lowest score and keep the average to the right, and we'll keep that ongoing throughout the year. So check out SVCSportsZone.com.
Well, again, fans, that's a shout-o-matic feature on SVCSportsZone.com. Strongly encourage you to make sure you're following me there. Really, all you have to do is follow me on Twitter or Facebook, because every time I shout, it goes straight to there. But it just gives you a little bit more detail. You heard me say on there about the golf individual scoreboard as well. That's updated down there at the bottom of our golf page. It's one of the neat features that really kind of allows you to follow that throughout the year. But, you know, Matt, back to that question, I just feel like it made me stop and think for a second. Do I have this right? Now, if I'm still predicting, I guess, and I'll ask you if you agree. You know, we've played some easier tracks with the River's Edge. You know, we're going to play Big Beaver. We're going to play Dogwood. I still feel like as you get to a JC's, as you get to a Crown Hill, as you get to a Pickaway, I feel like in the tougher courses, the talent will kind of come to the top. Is this enough to make you kind of think more than two, or you still feel like Unietta Piketon, when it's all said and done, will kind of separate themselves?
Well, I guess my gut tells me they'll probably still separate themselves because of what you just said. You're going to play some golf courses that are going to be a little tougher to score on. I assume they played the front side at River's Edge, which is very conducive to low scores. Some couple short par fives, some short par fours. It's a nine holes that I think brings the. I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to say average, but brings maybe your middle golfers kind of into play in terms of scoring, if that makes sense. I mean, all of a sudden now your three man, your four man, you have potential to go on a course like that and put together a good score.
You know what I think it does, really, Matt, contribute. Real quick?
Yeah.
I think what it does is, think about this with me. If you go out and play Valley Vista, every bad swing you make at Valley Vista could result in a penalty stroke. Where right. at a River's Edge, it allows you maybe two or three bad swings, still save your bogey there. And as you just alluded to, there's a couple birdies out there you can get. So wouldn't you say that probably has a lot to do with it, especially when you start talking about the three, four, five men on some of these teams?
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm looking at names and I'm looking at names. I don't mean to be, you know, I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but I'm looking at people that shot in the 30s that night, and there was a ton of them. And some of them, I'm not even, you know, I don't even recognize his name from before as being a guy that, you know, but all of a sudden they're shooting 38, 39, 36, you know. So it was just.
Even Owen Dill had a 48 in the first round and 34 in the second. I mean, again, that's just, again, the two courses. I heard him talk on the scoreboard show the other night. He had some things go his way, and he played really well.
But I think Zane Trace, I mean, this is the beauty of it. Zane Trace took advantage of playing on their home course where, you know, they're familiar with it. We saw Zane Trace play at the Vinton County Invitational over at Franklin Valley. And they've got two really good players that stood out that day, and Arnold and Chaney. But now all of a sudden they go to their home course and some of these other guys step up. And you get a 36 from Ratcliffe, 39 from Doles, you know, and they catch lightning in a bottle one night, and they win the meet. So they win the match. So congratulations to them. I don't know, over, like you say, the course of the entire season, if people will have enough consistency to overtake a Unietta or a Piketon. But on that particular night, it just goes to show you. You get the right conditions, you get the right night, and anything can happen. So I think it's going to be a very competitive race.
Well, that's good stuff. Let's move on to second down.
Second down.
Shane, I guess give the fans a prediction of your kind of going opposite of the question I just asked. Yeah, a prediction of yours from the preseason that after watching the early action, you feel justified or you feel reassured that you were right.
Well, I think here I would go over to SVC volleyball. I think people, because we graduated so much talent last year, and let's be honest, last year's senior class was a really, really special group throughout all the female athletics in terms of some of the accomplishments, and volleyball was front and center of that. And I think a lot of people felt like, oh, they're not going to be as good. They're not going to do this. I think as I ended my preview article, and you can still go on the website and read that. It's right there on the volleyball page, link for you. As I look at the volleyball, they're still elite. You watch them go across Southeast Ohio. They still set such a standard in terms of the level of volleyball that's going to be played. And I think you're still going to see that. You're going to see a great race. You're going to see an end with a great tournament run from multiple teams. I think the SVC, I don't have it in front of me. I want to say they're off to like a 16-2 start in the non-league, and that's without Westfall. Not even playing yet, who will probably be in that top four. So do I think there's a top four, bottom four that's going to kind of separate itself? Yeah, probably. But I think this could be a lot like a couple years back, you know, when last year's senior group was kind of getting started as sophomores, you saw some of the inconsistencies. You saw a lot of 4 and 5 set matches. You know, maybe it's going to lead to maybe a 2-loss team getting a chance to stick their nose in the race. But, you know, Matt, I don't know how you feel about this. I know you, when you look at programs rebuilding, a lot of times, you know, leagues rebuild. You know, you have a situation like last year where a ton of seniors. And so you get yourself in a position where even though you might not think this is one of your best teams, the league might just open itself up to, you know, it's that old cliche of sometimes the year picks you instead of you picking the year. You could kind of see that this year with all 4 of these teams fighting there in the top half of the volleyball league, couldn't you?
Well, you can. And I think the thing to remember, though, you know, when you have good, and this is what makes the SVC such a great volleyball league, when you have good programs, and I'm talking programs, that means places that have been good over an extended period of time and, you know, on their worst years just aren't that bad. Those are what I refer to as great programs. Anybody can have a great team 1 year, but programs sort of stand the test of time. You have some great programs in the SVC that have been good year after year after year over an extended period of time. And what you have to remember, and we've talked about it on the show before, when you see a group of seniors or a senior dominated league and you think, oh man, everyone's graduating, it's going to be down. Well, there's some girls that can play pretty good volleyball that have been waiting their turn, you know, right. And they've been playing behind these seniors. And all of a sudden now you may not know their names, but they're pretty good too. And once you get a few games into the year, you start to realize that these great programs don't necessarily completely have to rebuild or retool. They just sort of move the next wave in.
Well said. Let's take a look at what we have next, Bruce.
Third down.
What on the upcoming schedule, Shane, are you looking most looking forward to, and why?
Well, I tell you what, you could really make a case throughout every sport. I guess whatever it is the fan would be, you know, looking for, you know, if you're a cross country, a soccer fan, whatever, you know, football week 2 is kind of interesting to see some of these cross matchups. You know, a lot of times what I mean by that is, you know, McLean will play in Edina. Now they're going to play Uniota, Waverly playing within the SVC. So some of that intrigues me a little bit. The golf match coming up at Big Beaver, kind of to see, you know, we just came off of that question to see where we're at. But I would probably have to say my number one thing, just for me personally, would be the opening week of SVC volleyball. We just talked about it there. I know the Tuesday night, the first, you get some matchups that I guess if you agree with the predictions I have, you have kind of the top half versus the bottom half. But then waste no time on Thursday night over at Uniota. Huntington goes over to Uniota, and that's going to be an interesting start. So I guess it's whatever sport it is for you. But I would probably most be intrigued there on the second at Big Beaver, then the third over at Uniota. I don't know, Matt, this early in the process, you're not going to call it a must win. Obviously, Uniota would like to protect their home floor. Just you looking at it as a common fan of the league, which one of those maybe would jump out to you?
Well, I definitely see your point in the volleyball. I think anytime, you know, you get your first taste of league action, it's kind of neat to just see, you know, be able to start making some early judgments on, you know, who will be strong and are the predictions sort of what's actually panning out, or is it going a different way? I obviously like football. I think football at this time of year, I like to see teams in week 2 and week 3 and see what kind of improvement. I mentioned earlier in the show, you don't get a lot of practice time, not nearly enough practice time. And for football, in my opinion, in the preseason. So I think you see some sloppy play. I watched Jackson Wellston last night. There was some really sloppy play in that game. It's from listening to the coaches on the scoreboard show the other night. You know, you had some fumbles, you had some penalties, you had some, you know, it's that time of year. And I think it was Coach Hinton from Amanda Clear Creek said that a lot of times your biggest improvements are made from week 1 to week 2. So, you know, I'm anxious to see football here in the next couple of weeks to see which teams make the biggest strides and going into league play week 4.
Sure. Okay. Let's go ahead and finish it up.
Fourth down.
fair, unfair. Eric Hosley is the most unique athlete in the SVC this year.
Well, first of all, this is a great question because it actually comes from a fan that had asked the other night, and I told him we'd try to get it on the show. And, you know, I think the word unique is the word that jumps out at me that makes this absolutely fair. I think when you look at the size and the athleticism, you know, when I think of the word unique, I think of irreplaceable. I think of the difference maker. Now, are there athletes that are as accomplished? Sure. You know, when you look across at a Mowry, a Thomas, you got a Payton Valley with the McFadden's, McCloy here that graduated last year. But if you're going to use the word unique and you're just going to talk about, you know, some of those irreplaceable characteristics, you're talking 6'3", 218. I know today I had a chance over on Max Prep. You know, it has a neat page. I had a chance to see his punt return the other night. And I know you had a chance to see him in person, Matt. You're just talking about a special athlete. Yeah, you're taking all the staff center, and then all of a sudden you're going back to return punts and taking them to the house. And then on the defensive side of the thing, you're a complete factor, be it coming up and run support or matching up on the outside or helping over the top or whatever it might be. I remember watching this kid in basketball when he was first coming into his freshman year and stuff, and it's just amazing to me throughout his career how he defends all five spots. I just know very few people that can impact a basketball game the way he does without even scoring the basketball. You know, he might be guarding a kid like a Mowry on one night, and then a Dylan Swingle the next night, and then a kid like Thomas the next night. You know, so he seems like a great kid, great student. Going to probably get an opportunity to hopefully get a little financial help at the next level using his incredible ability. You know, Matt, I know you saw him the other night. I assume you would agree with me on fair.
Well, I definitely think it has to be fair, because to say unfair means you shouldn't even consider it. I think you have to consider it. I mean, I watched the kid play the other night, you know, and it looked like a combination of Deion Sanders and, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe Randy Moss or something. I mean, you're talking about a kid who's huge, first of all, can really run, very athletic. So, yeah, I mean, I think you definitely have to at least entertain the discussion. But I think at the same time, you can't get carried away. I think unique is the key word there because of his size and his speed and all that. But this league has some super athletes in it. You know, both McFadden's over at Paint Valley come to mind. It's going to be interesting to me, Pierce Mowry playing football. I know he hadn't played, at least in high school, I don't think, before, if I'm not mistaken.
Not to my knowledge.
Like,
no.
A freshman, maybe. But
I remember him running some cross country early in his career.
I was talking to one person from over at Zane Trace, who I won't name, but they said, wait till you see this kid play football. He's an absolute freak of nature. So I'm anxious to see it. You know, the league has some really, really good athletes, and Hosley's certainly one of them. But there are several that are fun to watch.
Well, no question about it. And like all of our questions and all of our topics here on SVC Sports Talk, we encourage fans to get involved. Love for you to give us a call. Let us know your thoughts at 740-569-3254. And you can also let us know on Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, Matt, as we kind of wind down this week, the last thing we want to do is, and this last segment will be brought to you once again by Crown Hill Golf Course. It's a situation where you simply call 740-986-GOLF. Tell them SVCSportsCenter.com sent you. They have some really, really good deals, some five-round membership things they've tried this year and some other things you can look at on the site there. But some really, really good deals you'll want to take advantage of if you're a golfer. I guess, Matt, where I want to end this week is in preparation for next week. We've been given so many off-season topics, and I tried to keep a bank of topics here. And, you know, one person was talking how much fantasy football, you know, drives the popularity of the sport and how that starts to dwindle down into high school. And they were saying how fun it would be to play, you know, fantasy football in high school and stuff. And I don't know that I'm crazy about that particular thing, but I do understand the topic. Three sport athletes. We just talked about it a little bit up here above. I know the interview I had with Tegan that played at the half the other night. You can still go back and listen to. He was talking a little bit about that. I'm hoping to get some audio here in the upcoming weeks from some guys like a Dylan Swingle who has kind of focused more on the one sport. Maybe even get a guy like a Hosley who's looking to play a sport at the next level, but still playing multiple sports. We talked about the funding in athletic departments. I guess it kind of goes into the field turf discussion. The routines. I know Jeremy and I got into this a little bit last year. Jeremy Ward and I here on SVC Sports Talk, we talked about routines before the games, the facilities, the money it takes, the different aspects. What kind of makes your thing, your particular place, a special place to come watch a basketball game or a football game or a soccer game? So it's kind of important to get out and watch and critique these other schools and see how it compares to yours. I guess my question to you, Matt, before we get out of here, which of these topics do you play fan for a second, would most interest you, or what kind of feedback in some of these topics would you be looking for to really drive our discussion on future shows?
Well, man, I tell you, those are some great topics. They really are. And that's what makes this show fun is when people send these things in. And because these are sort of discussions that you can just sit around at lunchtime at work and argue,
we all have, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, the fantasy football, I think a buddy of mine told me yesterday that DraftKings.com has spent the most money. They've spent more money on advertisement like in the last year than McDonald's is what I heard. I don't know. It just goes to show you fantasy football, what it's done and how much it's taken off.
No question. Yeah.
And, everybody plays some form or fashion of it, it seems like. And, we've got our fantasy draft next week. I just hope Chris Eldridge doesn't draft a kicker with a broken leg like he did a couple of years ago. But just if Chris is listening, there's some injured kickers, so be careful who you draft. But no, I mean, everybody has fun with fantasy football. The three-sport athletes is really intriguing to me because there's just fewer and fewer of them now. I think those are fun. And then obviously funding athletic departments, that's something I, deal with pretty closely. So those are all great topics. I just think, to me, for this show to be its best, we just really need the involvement of the people that listen. We want to know your opinions. We want to know what you want to listen to, and then obviously how you feel about the topics and what your opinions are.
Well, and that's certainly where we'll go in the weeks to come. So fans, let us know. You have several different ways you can contact us. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to coming again next week. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as the other fine sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and DBK Media Services, and for Matt Combs, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC. 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.